If you can turn to 2 Peter, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 15. It's not on the back of the devotionals, so if you can turn there, you can follow along with me. 2 Peter, verses 1 through 15. And I just thought of this as I was preparing to read this, to say a little bit, just a little bit more about what we saw in the past week. Week and a half, seems like forever. What Peter is telling the people in this day, the believers in this day, is how to live as the Christian family. We saw this in a tiny group in our family, and it's an amazing thing to see how our family came together and supported Tommy and Inga and all of us and our love for this precious little baby. But we also saw it in our church and the people who love us and care for us and their prayers for us. And then to even go wider than that, there were prayers for little Luca offered up in Ukraine and in Germany, all over the world. So you might think that's a stretch, but to me this is like right next door, what Peter is telling the people of that day who were followers of Jesus Christ. So let me read then to you from 2 Peter verses 1 to 15 in chapter 1. Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal privilege with ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you have. I consider it right, as long as I am in this tent, to wake you up with a reminder, knowing that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has also shown me. And I will also make every effort that after my departure, you may be able to recall these things at any time. May God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
Yeah, well, my apologies to Nathan once again. The verses on the back of the devotional are not obviously what Teresa just read. The Holy Spirit changed this message last night on my front porch. While Teresa and I are sitting on our love seat, because we're in love, so. Nate, you will make those changes on, I'm sure. The title of our message actually is "The Heavenly Likes." The Heavenly Likes will be the title. I've spent a lot of time in earlier years studying. Trying to get inside the mindset of Jesus, because Jesus was fully God, but also Jesus was fully human. a concept that we'll never really have come to grips with, I don't think. I don't think we need to. But I was trying to get inside the human mind of Jesus. And I think that Jesus' belief and understanding about his mission, besides the atonement, and therefore the mission of his image bearers, was to bring what is true in heaven to bear on earth. Now, why do I say that? Because I look at his healings, and his healings, really what we're seeing there when Jesus healed people, Jesus was showing that person that was healed and those around that were observing, this may look like this, earthly fact may look like this here in front of you, but the heavenly truth lurking behind that earthly fact is this. And he did it very concretely and very tangibly by healing that person. So the heavenly truth that was already true in the heavenly realm, you know, we had a lot of prayer requests about physical ailments and problems. What we need to get around as God's people, if you are in the covenantal family, and if you are a member of that family, there is a heavenly truth that is already true about that earthly fact that you're wrestling with. And what Jesus did was just reveal that. He took the curtain away between the two dimensions, and he showed us this is really what's going on. And then the other reason I've come to that, he did that through his healings, and then he did it also through his speech. And I'm calling on his model prayer. Remember when the disciples came and they said, how do we pray? And he said, well, this is how you pray. You pray that the following, the honoring of his name, the extension of his kingly rule, and the doing of his will, those things that are presently happening in the heavenly realm, your desire as God's people should be that that come to earth. He said, like it is in heaven, bring it to earth. So his belief and understanding was that the heavenly likes, I like that phrase, the heavenly likes would come and be manifest here on earth. And we as God's people, that is our job. Our job is to bring and manifest the heavenly likes. So the blessings of the Beatitudes are those heavenly likes. The blessings of the Beatitudes are what's going on in heaven right now. It's a description of the present environment of the heavenly realm. The blessings of the Beatitudes, think of it this way, are bits and pieces of heaven breaking through and dropping down on us here and now. The same with what Teresa just read through Peter, these things that Peter talks about. As such, since the blessings of the Beatitudes, you know what those are, right? Comfort, inheritance, you receive mercy, you're going to see God, and you're going to be called a son and daughter of God. Therefore, if those are parts of heaven that have leaked out, that have leaked across the curtain and have come into our heavenly realm, that's what's going on right now in heaven. And as such, when the Spirit changes us and causes character changes to occur, we get glimpses, deeper and deeper glimpses into what is happening in the heavenly realm. And those blessings then become a resource for us. A resource for us to use to deal with the noise that we're dealing with. The earthly noise that we're all dealing with. And Jesus said at the very beginning, if you have poverty of spirit, the kingdom of heaven is yours. And what he meant was, I think some of you are clicking here. I think this is a good concept for us to get. What he meant was those little bits and pieces of the heavenly realm, the way things are done there, come leaking into your life, and they become available for you to employ to deal with your noise. As that Spirit changes us, as the Spirit creates these character changes in us, following a proper response from us, we get deeper and deeper glimpses into heaven. You know, we all have a burning question. What's it going to be like? What is heaven going to be like? I can't tell you what heaven is going to be like physically. We know that we're going to have a renewed creation. We can't put verbiage to that, no matter how we try. Like I've said many times, you've never seen a tree. You've seen a parody. You've seen a tree in a fallen world. You've never seen a beautiful landscape. You've never seen a mountain vista. We think we have, but the physical consummated kingdom is going to be beyond. It goes to the borders of our language. We can't really imagine it. But I think the scripture is fulsome on the way things, the environment of the heavenly realm, the way things are done in the heavenly realm, the way people act, the way people interact with each other. It's like this. If someone would say, speaking of a particular town, and they would say, well, what's it like to live in that town? And the answer would be, well, there's a lot of mercy in that town, and there's a lot of comfort in that town, and we see God in that town. And actually, in that town, we are sons and daughters of God. And so the blessings of the Beatitude, please understand this. It's a really powerful concept for us. The blessings of the Beatitude are giving us hints of what it's going to be like to live in that town, to live in that heavenly town. And the beauty of that, that comes now. We can draw on that now. We can live out of the heavenly town environment here and now, and we employ the heavenly town environment to deal with the earthly noise, because we've got a lot of it. As you respond to the Holy Spirit and His teaching and leading, the overarching blessing that you will get is deeper and deeper glimpses into the environment of the heavenly realm. And you start to use and employ those things on earth. And that is what Jesus' prayer was about. That is what Jesus' healings were about. And He says to His image bearers, you and me, this is your vocation. This is what you're to do. And that is impossible absent our yielding to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we come to 2 Peter here. How do you get from the Beatitudes to 2 Peter, Tim? Here's the thing that I've discovered, and Teresa and I have talked about this. Scripture has such interwoven continuity. There is no, you can take a thread like the Beatitudes, and once you understand the Beatitudes and what Jesus was getting at there, you can see that concept played out over and over again in Scripture. We saw it played out in the last week in the prodigal son. We saw it played out in Psalm 77. We saw it played out in the unmerciful servant. And that concept is the foundation and the undergirding of everything that Jesus talks about in Scripture. So here we come to 2 Peter. And let's all read this together, please. If you would go to 2 Peter in your Scripture, this will be helpful to us. So, Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith. Okay, how have you obtained this faith? Through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift. Faith is not something you can work at. Faith is not something you can muster up. The very first thing that happens with us on this journey together toward Christ's likeness is that you are given something through the work of Jesus, and that is faith. But now, verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Faith is the basement, the foundation. But Peter and Jesus make it eminently clear we're to then take that foundation and multiply something. Something's to be built on top of that. Your faith is not just to sit there. You're to have grace and peace multiplied how? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, that's the opening of Peter. Peter's theology here is really deep and profound. He defines faith, he defines the origin of faith, and then he says, okay, now we got to do something with it. Now we got to expand on that, and grace and peace are going to be multiplied to you. Verse 3. For his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You have faith, and now you're going to be given something else. You're going to be given something that allows you and enables you and me to negotiate the noise of your life. Everything required for godliness and life. By these, verse 4, what? By what, Peter? Well, by the required things. By these required things. He says, you've been given everything that's required. And everything that's required for life and godliness. And then he says, what these things, these required things, will do for us. By these required things, he has given us very great and precious promises. So that, look at here. The required things are the vehicle through which the promises of God are delivered. Okay? We don't know what the required things are yet, but we know they're lurking here in Peter's mind. We know they're swirling around. And he's teasing us here. He's saying, these required things that are supplemental to your faith, they're in addition to your faith, are the vehicle through which a great and precious promise is going to come to you. So without the required things, you can't receive the precious promise. What's the precious promise? So that through them, through these required things, not yet named, you may share. Look at the promise here. Look at this. You may share in the divine nature. We share in the divine nature? We share in the divine nature here and now? The bits of heaven come streaming into our lives here and now? Yes, Peter says, they do. And what does that do for us? Look at that. Don't you love those next words? Escaping the corruption that is in the world. The heavenly likes are resources for God's people, and they do two things for us. They let us share in the divine nature, mind-boggling, number one. Number two, we escape the corruption that is in the world. Through these yet named, yet not named, through these required things. And the corruption that's in the world because of evil desires. Now, verse 5. And here's where we need to be plugged in. For this very reason. What reason, Peter? Well, the reason I just told you. I said that there's required things, and through these required things, the promises of God are going to be delivered to you. And if you don't have the required things, then it makes sense that the very precious promises of sharing in the divine nature and escaping the corruption of the world are not going to be delivered to you. You may have a faith. You may have a saving faith, Peter says, because that's a gift. But do you make every effort to build on that faith so that the promises attached to that faith are delivered to you here and now? That the bits of heaven, tracking? Good. The bits of heaven, the blessings of the Beatitudes, some of the bits of heaven, and the things that Peter are going to name are going to come leaking out of the heavenly realm, and you are going to experience them now. You're then going to draw on those resources when you come up against earthly noise. Our family has had earthly noise off the scale the last 2 weeks. And I said to my family, We draw on the resources of the heavenly realm. We bring this to God. We allow those gifts from heaven to help us deal with this noise. So, verse 5, for this very reason, this, if you write in your Bible, make every effort. Make every effort. Well, wait a minute, Peter, you just said faith was a gift from the righteousness of God. Yeah, Peter says, I'm not denying that. I did say that. But then Peter says, there's a second movement. There's something required. We have to do something. Make every effort to what? Supplement your faith. And now he tells us the required things. Remember what the required things were? The required things were the way the promises of God are delivered. They're the vehicle. They carry it. They carry the promises, okay? The required things are trucks, and inside those trucks are the promises of God. So without the required things, the promises are never going to be delivered to Black Locust Farm. They're never coming. But if they do come, what is promised to you is that you are going to share in the divine nature, and you're going to escape the corruption that is in the world. Now, does that not sound attractive to you? And yeah, it does. What are these required things, Peter? Goodness. Knowledge. Self-control. Endurance. Godliness. Brotherly affection, and he ends with love. These are blessings, are they not? Are these not close to? Do not the blessings of the Beatitudes encompass these things? Do you see how the blessings of the heavenly realm, bits and pieces of heaven, this is the way we operate here. These are the character changes that are going to happen. Everybody who's in the heavenly realm has these required things. That's why we run here. That's how we roll. We do these things. And you, Peter says, you, amazingly enough, you can draw on these now. You can bring these to bear now. On everything that you're dealing with. Teresa says, salvage the noise. Got some noise? Want to salvage it? Don't be like the prodigal. Remember last week? The first thing he did after he's at the end of his rope and he's got noise off the scale, he still signs on with the Gentiles. His first move is to go to work for the Gentiles. See, that's what I told my family this week. Our first move as God's people is not to sign on harder with the world. Our first move as God's people is to call upon the heavenly resources that have leaked out of that heavenly realm and are available, these required things, and they give us everything we need for godliness and goodness, these required things, these heavenly blessings, the heavenly likes, are something that are way underutilized by God's people. That's maybe a judgmental statement, and maybe I'm speaking to myself. I probably am. Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours, what qualities? Peter says, I just told you, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love, those qualities, those required things, those things that carry the promises of God into your life and make it real, if those qualities are yours and are increasing, what will they do for me? They will keep you from being, okay, conviction time. They'll keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing something, but not employing that knowledge, is useless. Teresa and I listened to Dennis Prager on our way down to Columbus, many trips we made to Columbus this week, and we listened to Dennis Prager, and something that he said hooked us both. We didn't even talk about it at the time. Later, we talked about it. And Dennis Prager said, there are so many people of faith that it's in the back of their minds, or it's not utilized, or it's not a priority in their life. They know they have it. Yes, I've had this faith. Yes, it's given to me by God. Yes, it's punched my ticket to heaven, but Dennis Prager says exactly what Peter is saying here, that having that knowledge, having that faith, and if you don't supplement that faith, and if you don't make every effort to supplement your faith with these required things, Peter says, you're useless. You're useless to God. Having a saving faith is not the end game. I'm probably going to take some heat for that statement. But it isn't. Having saving faith, yes, the end game is eternal life. Yes, it is. But something is required here and now, not only for our benefit, not only so that we share in the divine nature, not only that we escape the corruption that's in the world, but so that others get drawn into the heavenly likes through our change when we respond to the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Otherwise, else, you're useless. What a tragedy to stand before our Lord and Master one day, and Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, yeah, you're going to be saved, but everything will be burned up. All your work, useless, wood, hand, stubble, won't count for anything. You know, we talk about the heavenly regrets, and the heavenly regret, I think, would be to understand you had at your fingertips the required things. You had at your fingertips the heavenly likes, and you chose not to make every effort to supplement your faith with these required things through which the promises of God are delivered to you, and that is sharing in the divine nature and escaping the corruption that's in the world. Are you telling me that you struggled down there on earth and you were pushing around your problems and trying to solve all them by yourself, and all this time you had the heavenly likes available to you? Are you telling me that you never drew on these required things? And the reason you didn't do it is because you weren't willing to make the effort. Yeah, it requires effort. It is not by osmosis. It is not axiomatic. Once we go through genuine repentance, it is not axiomatic that we will extend and go into the second speaking of the Holy Spirit and become merciful, pure-hearted, seeing God people. We were given the hunger and thirst to do that, but how do you satisfy it? That's where you require effort. You'll become useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things... What things? Well, the required things, of course. Do you need me to say them again? No. You can read them. Is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Thank you, Dennis Prager. That's exactly what he said. Oh, yeah, I guess I am a Christian. Oh, yeah, I repented. Yeah. This is this kind of person. And in that vein, how are you any different than those who have not repented? He's forgotten. He's forgotten the cleansing from his from his past sins. Do you want to do a litmus test on whether you're saved or not? Peter's going to give it to us here in a minute. Therefore, brothers, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Okay, this is a nuanced point, and I want to make it clear. The world without the Spirit can't respond to the Holy Spirit's work in their lives unless they repent. The only thing the unrepentant person can respond to is conviction. Conviction of the Spirit. Once they have repented, then the Spirit will teach them. The Spirit will lead them. The Spirit will draw the heavenly likes out of your life. And Peter is saying here, do you want to know if you're saved? Do you want to confirm your election and your calling? Do you see these things happening in your life? Well, I want to know if I'm saved. I want to confirm my election and my calling, so I'm going to make every effort to read Scripture. Okay? Reasonable. But as I read Scripture, nothing's coming through. Nothing's clicking. Nothing's happening. It doesn't make sense to me. Peter would say, well, there's a problem. You've never really repented. Therefore, the Spirit is still in the foyer of your life. Do you want to confirm your election and your calling? If these qualities are yours and are increasing, it's confirmation to you that you have indeed the Spirit dwelling within you. This is a nuanced point, but it is so important. Well, Tim, I do. I'm not quite sure, and I would like to have confirmation of my election and my calling. Well, then I would say to you, paraphrasing for Peter, if I may do that, well, then make every effort to increase your knowledge about Jesus. And you do that through Scripture. And if you find, when you make that effort, that that effort is blessed, yeah, that's a better way to say it. If you find, when you make that effort, that it's blessed, and you see insights and understandings flowing freely, that's confirmation. You've got the Spirit. You've got the second speaking. He's working in your life. Conversely, if I'm making every effort to know Jesus, and all I keep running into is this niggling conviction. Conviction. I can't really get to the second level. And then Peter would say, repent, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, good. So if you have obtained a faith through the gift of Jesus' righteousness, this is a neat thing. It's really a good thing here. And yet you find that these qualities aren't really yours and increasing, but you know they should. Otherwise, you're useless. And so you say, you know, I want to turn the wheel the other way. Like Kathy's song. Perfect. I'm ready to have these qualities my own. I want the heavenly likes to be in my life. I want those beatitudinal blessings. I want the bits and pieces of heaven to come to me so that I can use them as a resource to deal with my noise. Therefore, I'm going to knuckle down and I'm going to increase my knowledge of Jesus by getting into his word. And if you do that, and you then discover these qualities are yours and are increasing, it is confirmation, Peter said. It's confirmation of your election and your calling. Otherwise, you're like the world who doesn't have the Spirit, and they read Scripture, and it is foolishness to them. See, I will actually use Nathan's Scripture here. I will actually use it. You see the first reference there on 1 Corinthians? at the top, 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. The unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it's foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. Are you getting this? Is this good? You want to confirm your election and your calling? The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. Yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Peter says here, there's one surefire way you can confirm your election and your calling. And that is, you make the effort to know him better. And if that effort is responded to, if that effort comes back, if, like what Isaiah said, his word will come back, don't come back void, it'll accomplish what he sends it to do, and if you have the Spirit, you will discover these things, the heavenly likes, will be your possession and will be increasing. Therefore, brothers, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly supplied to you. The heavenly likes will give you glimpses into that heavenly realm. And are you seeing this now? You see, the heavenly way of doing things, the heavenly environment becomes the way we think, the way we problem solve, the way we deal with things. It's richly supplied to you. And I'm probably here, verse 12. That's probably me. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things. Yeah, we got that, Tim. You're constantly reminding us about these things, even though you know them. Yeah, I know you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Yes, I get all of that, but I'm claiming the high ground, and I'm saying, well, if Peter can do it, no, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say if Peter can do it, I can do it. Forget that. But Peter says that pastors, I think, need to do this. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this tent, to wake you up with a reminder. We don't want to be useless. We don't want to be like an unspiritual person who can't get anything out of Scripture and can't grow and can't have these qualities. We don't want to be that way because therefore our faith really means nothing in the world. Our faith does not impact the world. Our faith does not impact us. Verse 15, here's Peter again. Again, make every effort, and I will also make every effort. So, here we are. Teresa says, I'm triangulating with something, with the congregation. No, whatever. I'm triangulating with Scripture in the congregation, whatever that means. But you see, I will make every effort. Here, I'll make every effort. So the deal is, we're going to make here. You will then make every effort too. And I'll remind you to make this effort. I will be stalwart here in bringing this and reminding you. You do your part, make your effort, and what you'll see is you'll see these qualities are your possession and they are increasing, and then you can sit back and you can say, yes, I've got the Spirit. Yes, my calling and confirmation have confirmed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on these words. Amen.